Fourth thing is this. When all else fails, his followers know that it's about Jesus. This is where he comes through when all else fails. Some of you today need to hear this. You need to hear this. When all else fails, there's Jesus. You want a different life? You want something better out of life? You want to try a bunch of things? Some of you go, I want to live my life in high school. I want to live my life in college. I want to live my life as a young adult. I'm actually just kind of, I don't want to call it this, but I'm just relaxed. The party scene's working for me right now. And you're going to think that it's going to make a difference in your life. And some of you ladies are going, if I could only be in this relationship, that's life. That would make life great. Or some of you girls are going, if I could only get out of this relationship, I'd have life. That would be good. Whatever it is, you go looking for life in a bunch of different places. Jesus is saying, hey, right here. I came that you might have life. I've got it. And by the way, it's abundant. Abundant life that I'm talking about. Right now, a lot of times people turn to Jesus as a last resort. That's because there's so much innuendo. I've been doing this for a long time. Ever since I got out of high school. And I've been working in a church. A lot of people say, I like your talks, and you make me interested in God, but I don't know if I want to take God seriously right now. You don't know the hell that I'm from, and it's a big step. I just need a little patience. I kind of want to go through some of the plans that I've set. In fact, I've got this big adventure coming up, and I haven't prayed about it, but it feels right, so I'm going to go there. And then when I get out of college and get married and we start to have kids, that's when I'm going to take God seriously. You know, that's when it all counts. I got this generational thing, and I got to like be really careful, and I also want to break some of the old stuff. So I want to raise my kids in a Christian family. Then I'm going to turn to God. That's what I got. How do you feel? Okay. What about all the pain and mistakes you're going to make along the way? Because you're living your life on your own. Those mistakes and pain that living God's way could save you from. You think the pain and mistakes, as soon as you make them, you're going to be able to dust them under the carpet and never be reminded of them again? No. They'll be with you the rest of your life. That's why I don't try to beg people. I don't sit up here and do that. I don't try to manipulate people. I don't try to, you know, tell them what I say. I teach them what the Bible says, that God is drawing near to you to be close to him. He is a Savior. He is here to save you. And in all the aspects you want to add there, it's his saving grace. A lot of times people come up and they jump in God's territory when all else fails. He's there for you. Big questions people are asking. Until people see that on their own solutions aren't working, so to speak, they typically don't turn to God because nothing else works. And then they do. Ephesians 2 says this, remember that in those days you were living utterly apart from Christ. You were lost without God and without hope. I see people, they come to church for a little bit and they walk away. They'll see me in the community, the field. They'll see me up at Machado, up at the sand trap, and they're talking to me. And all of a sudden there's this sort of this weird guilty feeling. There's the pastor. I haven't been to church in a long time. And instead of, hey, pastor, or, you know, which is perfectly fine, or, hey, Andrew, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? It's, my life isn't going very well and I need church. I'm like, oh, okay. Wow, we just panicked mode there. Let me tell you something. You don't need church. I mean, ultimately you do, but here's what you need. You need Jesus. Okay? You need to get right with God through faith in his son, Jesus. You're not just a number. You're not just one of 6 billion. Don't look at me and panic pass here. I'm letting you know, as Jesus stopped what he was doing in a very busy day, he wants to look at you and say, your faith has made you well, not your attendance. Just letting you know. Sit down, dude. Let's have something here at the sand trap. Let's relax. Take breath. Your faith is what matters. You're not just one of 6 billion. That's the message I want you to hear today. With all that you have going on, God wants you and him to connect. Now we can close in prayer. Not yet. I want to make you well, Jesus says. I want to give you the wholeness and peace that you've been longing for, Jesus says. You've been searching for 12 years to be healed. God wants to do this to you today. As he speaks to that woman, I want you to have that. My son Jesus changes followers' lives where all else fails. So how do I start following Jesus? If I left the message empty here, you might have to figure it out on your own. And I think you could, technically speaking, but I have some seriously cool, very simple action steps here. You might think intimacy is a pretty weird word. It's some kind of male-female word. Yes, it is, but it's a word that describes a relationship with God that you can have. Religion is distant. Religion is a distant thing. I hate that. I hate religious spirit. I hate legalism. And I can go on and on and on about these things because I've been a part of it, and it's empty. It's cold. It's not personal. It's fake. And I think God is concerned about a relationship. I know that he is. He wants intimacy. You were created in the intimate environment, thought of, prepared for, known, heard. You're cared for. He knew you before you were born. The psalmist nails it. He wants intimacy. And until you are with him, and blow me off if you don't believe this and go figure it out on your own, but until you figure out that you were created to have a relationship with God, you're going to be wandering. Wandering. You're going to be wandering. And you're going to be looking. So how do I start following Jesus? Just start by admitting the follower that you are right now. Where are you? Who I've been. Okay? Maybe not necessarily a follower. A young man this week, was invited to come up to address the football team. He's not currently on the football team. He's on another team. But he had been seen doing some things that weren't cool. They were not okay. And they're against all the coaches' standards and just ethics. It was wrong. And he was doing it. And he had his reasons, but he was seen doing that stuff. And then the reputation started to spread. His gossip started to spread. And it went further and further and further, all the way to the point of he's not even going to play for the team anymore. He's a pretty solid player. Big guy. And I got sick of the gossip. I got sick of the crap that was being said. And I finally just was like, has anybody called this kid? So I left the practice that I was at, and he answered the phone after about 10 tries. He's like, what? I'm like, don't you what me. You got some splaining to do. This stuff's going around. I don't think you want this being said. But if it's true, I don't think you want to live this way anymore. And it goes pretty deep. It goes all the way to say, you're not even on this team anymore. And I'm going to say this to you one time. There are 22 jerseys on this team that we're going to give out in 3 months. If you want one of them, you better fix this. Fix it now. Now, I had the authority to speak that way based on the relationship that was there. I don't normally talk to people that way. Within 15 minutes, he just came barreling onto the field, running like a polar bear, and just kind of right into the circle. As we were talking about other things, it got really quiet because it's like, what is going on? I knew, but no one else knew. And he stood up in front of those guys and he said, this has been true, and I've been found out. This is where I'm at. Here's why. Although this is not an excuse, and I just want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry to you, coach. I'm sorry to you, coach. And you, I'm sorry, coach. Looked at us personally in the eye and said that. Then he looked at the captain and he said, I let all you guys down too. I know it's the off season, but we're really never off, and our team name and our reputation's out there. I've screwed up. I'm sorry to you, captains. And for those of you eighth graders that aren't on the team yet, don't you quit this team because of what you see here. And don't look at me. This is a solid program. I got to get my life in order. I apologize. I was late for Wildman. I never heard something like that come from a teenager. I'm not exaggerating because those words are burned in my heart. I heard them. That's growth. That's growth. I didn't praise him after other than thank you, but I said, dude, thank you for being obedient. Let's get you right where you want to be. But he had to start with where he thought he was at. He had to evaluate and look under the hood and say, this is true. This stuff is being said. This is where I'm at. And it's not cool. And I'm sorry. This is the follower that I've been. And back in the day, for those that were all hovering around this lady, some were watching. Yeah, there goes that Jesus guy. Look at that crowd. You want to go over there? No, I don't want to go over there. I'm not going to be part of that crowd. And then others that were following Jesus, and they hung out with him, and they just wanted his free stuff, you know? Catch a blessing here, maybe a healing, or just some free food, you know, whatever. We're hanging out with Jesus. This is awesome. And they're just walking with him, like behind him. Not a bad choice. But I'm going to go further and take the one that this lady became, the wanter, the one that grabbed him and busted through the followers and the walkers and said, I want you. Sorry. And he turns. He says, you apologize to no one. Your faith has made you well. And an intimate moment occurs. That's a walk with Jesus. That's where you want to evaluate. Where am I? Do I have that? What does it look like? Let me ask you, and you don't need to write this down or share it with a friend. Just answer it honestly in your heart. Which one are you when it comes to Jesus? You just hanging out? There's that church thing. These people drive me nuts. Just judgmental. Just orbiting. Are you walking with him? Every now and then, you know, seasonally, whatever. Or do you reach out to him every day and go, I have to have you. Sorry. And he's like, don't you apologize. Let's walk together. Let's walk together through your circumstance right now. It matters to me, child. Great verse, Mark 5:26. She said, I had gotten no better. In fact, I was worse. The lady knew her situation. She admitted, I need to be healed. A wanter makes a conscious decision to begin drawing near to God. If you used to be a wanter at some point in your life, you're now kind of walker, you're part of the crowd. It's an old deal. I know it's old, but you've heard this before. It just said what's really true. If you're distant from God, you've heard this before. Who moved? Guess who moved? God didn't move. Did God go? No. You've messed up too much. I'm just going to take off a little bit and go focus on some other people. No. You're screwing up. That's three strikes. You're out of my kingdom. No. Admit the type of follower you've been. Begin with the faith you have. Just take what you got. Love it. Mark 5:28. She thought to herself, I could just circle just. Isn't that weird? But it's not weird. Circle it. If I could just, small part of faith, just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. A lot of people I've talked to, they just don't have faith like that. I know sometimes I don't. I don't. I look at some of my ministry leaders, listen to somebody give their testimony. You know, you put on Gateway and these incredible pastors, and I, maybe you're thinking, I don't have faith like that. I just have a little bit of faith. Can I say to you, start with that? He'll take it. He'll take it. A little bit of faith and trust. I'm going to trust God today with what you say you'll do. I'm going to trust that you'll take care of me. Just start with a little bit of faith. And if you think you got to be like varsity faith when you're really barely making the freshman team, just start on that little bit of faith. Start there. I'm going to literally trust God with this relationship because I'm going to take this relationship away from this situation and not give it any more strength. I'm going to take the one you're talking about that's found in the Word. I'm going to trust him with this little bit of faith, and this is what I'm going to do. And that is one of my favorite pictures. And I know it's not the woman, but it's a wanter. I want you. I want to introduce you to real Faith. Actually, her name is Faith. It's kind of cool. Come on up here, Faith Katina. And there's a microphone right down here if you grab it. Faith is one of our Tuesday night family dinner friends. And she is more than that, actually. I don't either.
Yeah.
Whoa, we're good.
Hi. I probably don't need a microphone.
So, as of this morning, we both had grace and faith on stage. This is cool.
Woo.
All right.
We got the right church in town.
That's cool. Faith is a great friend. In fact, a lot of you know her. She attends here upon occasion, sometimes singing waters. She's there, but she's working very hard over in Descanso. Tell them what you do.
So I used to work at the Aerial Adventure Park. It's right underneath the zip line. So it's kind of that jungle gym looking thing right over there with the, with all the trees and all the platforms and stuff. That's where I used to work. So I'm in the one, I'm the one in the orange, the really bright orange traffic cone color. It's great. I hate the color. That's fine. So this is, yeah, this is what Kate and I do. We just laugh all day. It's really great.
Nice. She is the enthusiastic one, no doubt about it. What's interesting about Faith is she's had challenges, even while she's lived here and worked here not long ago, recovering from an injury that took out a lot.
Yeah, I actually broke my foot last year. So if you guys saw me here last year, I was on crutches, like really trying to go up, right, the little hill here. And I was like, oh, this sucks, but I'm almost there. We're fine. Yeah. So thankfully, it's all better. I can walk now, jump, whatever, work.
Just recently, there's been some other healing, and there's been some big steps that she's had to make. That's why she's up here on stage. A little bit of faith has gone in a larger direction in your life. And tell them what is about to happen to you and maybe what you do know about where you're going.
So I've decided actually to do a YWAM base, a DTS, in the Republic of Georgia. If you don't know where that is, that's down into the left of Russia, up into the right of Egypt. It's bordered by Armenia as well as the Black and Caspian Sea. I've decided to do a DTS there with, I don't know if some of you know, Dennis and Corrine Holtz. So I'll be over there with them. I'm going to be living in a small village outside the capital, Tbilisi. And I'm just going to do normal DTS there, and then we'll do an outreach phase in Russia. And our main focus will actually be things like the Russian World Cup. We're just going to do a lot of evangelism there, whatnot, you know. And then we'll be doing other evangelism kind of in other regions of Georgia as well. But to get to that point, like I've been waiting for about 2 years to do DTS. I actually raised all my money before I came and like decided to come to the island when I was a senior in high school. And it's actually just kind of cool the way that a whole happened because I was supposed to do the YWAM base that was like based here in Avalon with Mountain and Sea Adventures, Annie McCauley. And it didn't really end up working out. They kind of kept pushing it back because I was the only student, right? You can't do DTS with just one student. So it kept being pushed back or whatnot. But like, when this actually only happened, like, I only met Dennis one time. He came to Singing Waters. It was the Thursday before I went home, actually, for Christmas. And he came and spoke a little bit about himself. And, oh, my gosh, guys. My spirit, like, so you have the Holy Spirit, and you're, like, worshiping. You're, like, oh, this is so good, right? And then God, like, touches you in, like, a really powerful way. You're, like, this is God. Like, this is God, right? I had that feeling so strong. I hadn't felt that in a really long time. And so when I felt that, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go for it. You know, like we actually just did this book in women's group called Just Do Something. And I was like, you know what? This is perfect. I'm just going to literally do something. Right? Like literally just going to do it. And there's actually a great song that's like, yeah, it's like, I'm going to just do it. And it's just, yeah, it's just a great song. It's this great, great song. You should all go listen to it. It like gets you pumped up. You're like, I'm going to do it. Anyways. Anyways, after I decided I was going to go do that, I was like, okay, well, I got to get all the financial stuff. I got to go, like, think about all that, like, what I'm going to move over there, right? But, like, the great thing is, like, so I decided that in December, and now it's March, and it starts in April, right? That's only, like, 4 months to raise all your financial situation, like, all the money, right? Well, like, the really cool thing is that, like, I already have all that money raised up, so I don't really need any financial help. And I think that's, like, in my life, like, I've not, like, struggled with financial stuff, but it was, like, this was just one less thing that I had to really worry about. And I think, like, in my life, that's really something that God was like, hey, like, you are so ready just to go do this, you know? It's like you already have everything you need, and you just get to go on this great adventure. And to be quite honest, like, I don't really know what YWAM is going to look like. I really don't know what I'm kind of getting myself into, because the one here like looks completely different, right? But like I know it's just going to be this great adventure, and I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but I know it's going to be good because God is there and God is good, you know? And so, yeah, I'm just excited. Just a little bit. So, yeah.
Okay. So after the service, right over here, we're going to pray for her, and we want you to join us as we're going to send her off, but more than just with blessing, we're going to pray over some of those needs. And I want those that really care about the situation, those that understand what she just talked about, that takes a little bit of faith and a big step going into the mission field and some unknown, and some of you guys have done that before, some are in this room, you can offer that confidence to her too. So take a minute before you head out, unless you got to be somewhere, we'll be right up front. Cool beans? All right, good deal. Thanks, Faith. Isn't that cool? We had a little bit of Faith on stage. Very cool. And Faith, thank you for being faithful, making a difference. That's what I'm going for here. Your lives are supposed to make a difference. See, Descanso was a means to an end. Did you catch that? She said, when I came here, I had a plan a couple years ago that this is what was going to go on. I didn't know when, and I didn't know what it was going to look like, but I had a plan. She was saying, I was thinking about doing this, started saving. Sounds good to me. What are you needing to plan? Maybe it's family related. Maybe just start one. Maybe it's I'm looking for this specifically relationally. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe it's an island to mainland change. I don't care what it is. It's all important. Start planning. Start right now with the faith that you have, and allow God to make a difference in your life. This is Him making a difference in you, and you making a difference in someone else. That's how it looks. I mean, the lady that was touched literally was healed by her faith. I seriously doubt she thought it was all about her when it was over. Oh my gosh. Matthew 5:13 talks about salt and light. And real quick, let me tell you why you're here. Sounds personal, doesn't it? It is personal. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Love this version. You've lost your usefulness. You're going to end up in the garbage. Jesus says to the followers of Christ, you're salt. What does salt do? It adds stuff. It tastes good. Flavor. Faith is going to get some salt going. She's already been salty over in Descanso. But she's going to take it to the next step. She is literally giving a semester to Jesus. What do you want me to know? And what he might end up saying is, what do you want me to know? Let's come to the table. And when this semester is done, it's not over. Oh no. It's time to salt this place up and add some flavor and add some light and get this city on a hill. So what Jesus is talking about here is being the salt of the earth. He's saying we bring out the flavor. The question is, what flavor are you bringing out? Is it a bitter taste? Selfish? Boring? About you? When people see you as a follower of Christ, yes, I'm saying it. How you act? Why? Because I've been all that stuff. I'm admitting it. I've been that junk. Is the stuff you're saying good? Positive flavor? Is your giving flavor? Is your fun flavor? I want to hang out with people like that. That's my kind of fun. Can't predict them. It's beautiful. The reality is a lot of people in our life, friends at school, softball teams, the job site, down there shoving kayaks in the water, they're the only God that some people will ever know. They don't go to church. They don't have a Bible. They're too busy. They're here to make a fast buck and get out of here maybe in 3 months. So the only flavor they know about God is you. God's saying this. You are the salt of the earth. I want you to bring His incredible taste to those around you. It's an interesting picture there, Mark 16. Just add this. And then he told them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Faith, you got this going on. And others in here do too. When it comes to making a difference, it's an action step. It says, go. I told you we'd be all over the place this morning. Told you. Because Jesus was all over the place. He was meeting needs and speaking into people. All of a sudden you're on the side of a cliff, and all of a sudden you're down in a boat in a storm, and then you're up here and you're over there. Pastor, what's your point this morning? It's all over the place. It's all over the place. Just following Jesus and the way he took me this week. And guess what? I'm following the red letters. It was all over the place. Some of you guys have invited a ton of friends here to come to church. I want to say thank you. It's not about me. On behalf of the kingdom, you are winning. You are winning big rewards in heaven because you are doing something for the kingdom. Not for me, not for anyone on this planet, but for him. Some of you invited friends to small groups. They're coming. Maybe they're meeting in your home. And darn it, if you don't have a night that works for you, like the Oasis nights when the women are meeting or Wild Men doesn't start something. As long as it's healthy and Jesus, what man, it's about him, and it's all for him, there's no greater compliment than to put something where people can get to it and begin something new. We're okay with that. That's not a sub-federation thing that's spinning off with fruit that's not good. That's fruit that's in Jesus. Get it? Does it make sense? We're not territorial here. Jesus was never that way. He was planning and stopping and meeting needs and moving and planting and stopping and meeting needs in people's lives. That's showing your friends that this is a church and God reaches to them by using you. Jesus wasn't selfish. Like that coach, that very young coach who blew his testimony and he got fired as a result of the incident. Some of you are going, good. Yeah, it was good. But it left a very confused teenager. I'm sitting here going, gosh, I'm only a sophomore. My coach just got fired. What did he get fired for? Telling someone to hit someone. I was just delusional. Like, what's right? Looking for the good and all that. Jesus doesn't do that stuff. In fact, he's concerned with Chris, my buddy who hit the guy. Like, why would you follow that, Chris? The difference, the major difference between that coach and Jesus is that Jesus has always had our best interest in mind. The red letters speak directly to your heart this morning. Before we pray, just want you to know that don't just read it, live it. Don't just read it, live it. That's our one last thing here to focus on. If our worship team could come up and continue the worship this morning. Before we pray, I'm just going to say, if you want to memorize a darn good verse, Matthew 5:14. Load it up. It's a quick one. You can have it done before you walk out of here. Not out of duty, but because I needed that. Just apply it to your life. I needed that. It felt good. Okay? It's the one at the very top of your outline. Let your light shine. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. These people that have come to ACC today, you brought them here for a reason. And I thank you for the red stuff. I thank you for the words that Jesus said and how these words still relate to us today. The things you said thousands of years ago and still apply to our lives today. We thank you so much for that. God, thank you for the followers of you that are specific. They're on command. They're on point. We thank you that you're clear about those things. This is what I want you to do. Look different. Make a difference. And if there's anybody in this room this morning who has not put your faith and trust in Jesus, it's not a follower, I pray that they will make that decision this morning and ask you into their lives, Jesus, and put their trust in you and begin to follow you today. As our coach, as our leader, just incredible. I don't want anybody to miss out on that. God, we love you. And we thank you for the decisions that are being made on a daily basis in faith and others making big decisions in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.